that I know have, Priya Nath, and she is the Global Policy and Advocacy Advisor with the VSO International. Good afternoon. Hello, Priya.
Hi. How are you?
How are you? I know I'm interrupting you. You're going in to host this thing now. But just tell us what it's all about. It's on today now, and it's in the Little Museum of Dublin and St. Stephen's Green.
Yes, so VSO today is launching in Ireland our Women in Power report. And what our Women in Power report about is about basically is that in 2015, so next year, we will see the expiration of the Millennium Development Goals, that's the MDGs, which were set in 2000. And those MDGs have been directing kind of the focus of international development, if you like, for the last 15 years. They expire next year, and there needs to be a new framework that's agreed by world leaders at the UN, and it has to be agreed by September next year. So our Women in Power report is basically saying that in this framework that comes out, whatever the framework is that comes out next year, there really needs to be a very clear focus on gender equality and women's empowerment, because we know that 3/4 of the world's poorest people are actually women and girls. So we need a special focus and effort. If we are really going to eradicate poverty, we need a special focus and effort on women and girls in particular. Mm-hmm. And VSO has been working as a development organization for the last 55 years across over 90 countries. And what we have learned from doing this work and with our partners on the ground and in the communities that we work is that gender equality is one of the biggest barriers to actually poverty eradication. And equality, it's women's lack of voice and decision making that is key, or is one of the key things about what keeps gender inequality kind of continuing. If women don't have a say at decision making tables, regardless of what level they're at, then the decisions that are being made just don't reflect their needs. So our report is saying how we can incorporate in this next framework, how we can incorporate kind of equality in decision-making. So that's equality at all levels, whether mm-hmm. it's local government, national government, community decision-making, whatever we talk about. We just need to focus on women as equal decision-makers. So that's a really quick summary.
Yeah, but are enough women putting themselves forward and being oppressed in that sense? Or what way does it work? I mean, for instance, in Ireland, there's a lot of posters, local elections at the moment, and a lot of women up there. But there's two aspects of looking at it. If women don't put themselves forward, and then if people don't vote for them, how do you master that?
Absolutely. So there are many. It's a very complex area. But what we know is that women, one of the reasons why women might not put themselves forward is that there's still very clear and set social norms and cultural attitudes around who a decision maker is, what they might look like. And predominantly, when you ask in most societies, what do you see? What is the face of a decision maker? And usually people will admit that they see a man as a decision maker. So we need to break down some of those stereotypes around who makes the decision maker. But we also know that, especially in the developing world, women don't always have the same levels of education. They don't have the same financial means to put themselves forward. And all these things act as barriers in themselves. So we do need to have an overall goal that is focused on, or target, sorry, that's focused on increasing the amount of women. But then we need to drill down into what is keeping them from putting themselves forward. How else do we need to go about it? We need to change attitudes. We need to change accessibility. We need to look at the political systems a lot of the time, because they're very adversarial, mm-hmm. and there are ways that they can be set up or tinkered with that will make them less so. We can look at, for example, and this is going to be a universal framework, unlike the MDGs, which only apply to developing countries. This is actually going to apply equally to Ireland, the UK, to America. And when we look at statistics internationally, around women in power, there are very few countries, and I was looking at them this morning, there's only one country in the whole world out of 150-something that are measured that have more than 50% female representation in Parliament, and that's in Parliament at the highest levels. We don't have adequate statistics for local-level governments. We don't have any statistics, really, that are comparable for community-level decision-making. So it's mm-hmm. just to bring in an attention to the whole raft of things that go with this.
Yeah. Okay, so it's really basically to bring the attention, as you just said, so there's no major reforms or plans to the extent, because it's a hard nut to crack, really, isn't it? When you think about it, in the way you're talking there, it's male-dominated, the money aspect of it, the financial aspect of it, and of course, women themselves just having the confidence, because... It's really, well, I mean, relatively over 30 years now since women have come more to the fore with any sort of power at all.
Yeah, so what we think is this global framework is going to set the bar, really, and then it's up, and then it will be individual countries, individual member states, including Ireland, that will then have to take that kind of global framework, that global goal and target, and make it a reality in their own countries. And that will require more work at the country level to go, you know, to really look at what are the barriers in Ireland to having equal representation of women in decision making. What are the specific things that need to happen here? Which will be very different from what might happen in, say, Tanzania, to make that more reality. So while this is a global framework, it's really important that we get it in at this level, because then governments will be kind of more compelled to work on this as a long-term measure. And this framework is going to set at the course for the next 15 years. So it definitely is about, you know, we're not saying this is going to happen overnight, and it can't happen overnight, but also, one of the things that's shocking to me and to us at BSO is that if we don't do something about it, if we don't do something quite drastic and we don't take this action now, if we keep going the way that we're going, it will take another 50 years at least for the world's parliamentarians, that's all across all parliaments, to get to a level of 50% of women and men. But it will take another 120 years at least before we even have a chance of having half the world leaders being women.
Okay.
We just don't think we can wait that long.
No, it certainly can't, because I've heard it said, really, and it's been said many times, that if more women are in power, there'll be less conflict in the world. I don't know how true that is, but I'm sort of inclined to lean towards thinking it is true. Now, this today, the launch here today, Priya, is this going to travel now, or is it's just launched in Dublin today, or will you travel around with it?
Yeah, I mean, we launched in the UK in September last year. We are taking it to the UN, so we took it to CSW, the Commission on the Status of Women, just in March. This is BSO went along. We took our partners from Nepal and a grassroots organisation that works with women in the field in Nepal. We're taking it as widely as we possibly can. It's about all countries kind of getting behind this, all governments getting behind this and recognising this as a barrier to overall eradicating gender equality, but also to eradicating poverty, because the decisions, if our world leaders, if our parliamentarians don't actually reflect women, then their decisions won't reflect the needs of women either.
Okay, I imagine it's going to be an uphill struggle, but I wish you every success with it for the future, and I know I'm holding you up, so you're due to go now, but thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us here in Near FM.
Brilliant, thank you very much.
Thank you, bye.
Bye.